This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
All right, Dynasty Podcast, live from Dynasty HQ in Pilsen. Haima Black here for another week. And I am here tonight with Leticia Renee from Eugene Taylor Brand and Olivia Goodman from OG Brand. How are you guys both doing?
Good.
We're good.
Yeah. Thank you guys both for coming up here tonight. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, I was turned on to the idea of having you guys on the podcast because I'd seen the name around, but Natalie was like, let's get them on the show and not just have them individually come on and tell their story, but let's have the two of you guys on together and really talk about the greater fashion scene and the culture scene in Chicago, because you guys are very plugged into that.
Yay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So we always kind of start these discussions off with just like, how did each of you get your start in what you're doing? How did you kind of come into your creative roles and the culture roles that you're in right now?
For me, I just kind of, I started with visual merchandising and then just kind of like always having like that niche to want to design clothes since like I was a kid, like with my grandma, like kind of designing or making a lot of like my outfits like as like a kid and stuff, and like being interested in that and kind of like keeping with that, and then like kind of gaining the confidence to want to actually go for it. Just kind of
cool. Yeah, I actually had like a really similar background too. Like my grandma always had like, probably Tisha has like a closer connection obviously, but because her collection is named after her grandma. But I was taking like sewing lessons like from my grandma also. Like she was like always, like people like from the 50s, 60s always like were sewing. So I just like naturally had that skill to do that. So I think that's like something that we really clicked on. But just like designing in Chicago, people like have a really interesting like sense of style. I think to me, like everybody in like LA or New York also have a very identifiable sense of style, but Chicago, like I was really tapped into like the boys that we were around, like went in high school, and they always like were really expressive in their sense of styles, and I wasn't really inspired by that. So I think that's what really made me want to start.
Yeah. So what steps are involved with actually going from being inspired and having that background where you knew that this was what you're going to approach, but like how do you actually make those first steps into, you know, building what becomes a fashion brand or starting to make, you know, clothes?
Yeah. I think for me, it was always just like, that was my output. Well, it wasn't always actually my output. Like I was always like trying to explore like how could I be creative? How can I always like tap into what really made me happy ultimately, which was my creativity, and then ended up ultimately landing on making clothes. But I went to school for like marketing, and like that was something that was really cool because I knew I needed to be able to market myself. However, like I really wanted to go into, you know, ultimately like what I wanted to do. But I think that fashion to me is whenever you meet somebody, you're always like, oh shit, like I fuck with how they dress. So being able to be tapped into like how you ultimately like are being expressive as yourself as an individual, like, and then being able to be inspired by that, I think that's how I really
want to be. I agree with what Olivia is saying as far as that goes. I like super inspired by like just people watching in Chicago, getting inspired by the actual people in Chicago, like the things like that are going on in Chicago, like going even deeper, the emotions that people are going through like in Chicago, the things that people are physically going through, just like all of those emotions, like what I'm going through as a person. Like I feel I put all of that like into each collection that I have, and like each piece that I make, like I put all of that like emotion into that.
So. Now, I mean, I know for a time people were saying there was no kind of fashion industry in Chicago. Does it still feel like that, or, you know, like does it feel like there is a developing culture here now? Because for a minute, I mean, like even maybe like 5 or 10 years ago, I think it was easy to be like, there's no fashion business in Chicago.
I think that's something that Tisha and I always talk about, and like what we're trying to do together is try to invest in the fashion scene in Chicago. But I think when you're talking about industries in general in the city, like, there's a lot of things, like, starting to grow and, like, revolutionize. Like, you start from, like, the music industry, and then, but there's things that came before that, like, just, like, I don't know, like, all the, like, meatpacking and shit like that. So, well, like, sure. So Chicago has always been, like, a city of trying to kind of invest in industries. So I think at this point, with all the people doing, like, amazing things in music, there's also kind of, like, a scope on the city. So I think what Tisha and I have, like, always struggled with is just, like, resource and things like that. So I think we ultimately want to be able to set up, you know, things for people to be able to tap into and kind of, like, get rid of the struggles that her and I had so that we can ultimately, like, grow the industry, the fashion industry in Chicago.
Well, yeah, and talk about resources, because you're right. Like, that is something that I think is kind of a universal concept to connect with, in that Chicago, for all of its strengths and all the creativity here, it doesn't always have all the resources, whether it's, like, something filmmakers need or musicians need.
Yeah.
So what are some resources that the city has, and then what are some resources that it might be lacking at this moment that would help out creators like yourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak to it, and then you can kind of, if you want to, but there's a lot of, like, individual people like Tisha and I that have been, like, faced with the same struggles that we've had, so kind of just, like, make shit happen for themselves. So, like, you talk about screen printing, and, like, something that I've always ran into is, like, when you screen print a shirt, you have to have a certain amount of minimums. And for a person that works a 9-to-5 job, and or Tisha that is hired by herself, it's, like, that's expensive. Like, if I have to come with a $5 T-shirt idea and make 30 T-shirts to match a minimum, it's a lot of money.
No, I mean, 100%. Like, I know a lot of musicians over the years, and I've been at their houses, and they have, you know, like, the second half of their bedroom is just the boxes of their T-shirts that didn't sell.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly. So you also will get stuck with, like, inventory. So You meet kind of, like, these kids. We've been working with this group called Supply Locale, and they're amazing. They're artists as well. So they've kind of made it a way for themselves, and they have built out, like, a screen printing studio for themselves and things like that. So it's just about tapping into people who are individual, like, hired people and have the same passion or struggle as you, and kind of just, you know, bouncing off of those guys and making stuff happen.
Yeah, and it's, like, the same thing for Cut and Sew. It's, like, everybody wants you to have a certain minimum when you want to go into production, and then I kind of just end up doing it myself. But, like, you know, that's a lot of work. It would be nice to be able to find a place, like, where I could get a certain minimum that would help, and that's affordable. Like, it's just, like, that kind of, like, neighborly feel that's not really out there. And if it's not that neighborly feel, then it's kind of like people that don't want to, like, share their resources. Like, I don't feel like that's, like, a common thing for people to, like, share their resources, which kind of sucks, because we're not going to grow. And I feel like it's kind of like a Midwest issue. It's, like, even deeper than Chicago, because Chicago has to grow first in order for the Midwest to even be seen as, like, a fashion anything. Like, Chicago goes first, and then, like, everybody around kind of, like, that happens for them, and just kind of, I feel like that comes from, like, the unity feel of it. All of that kind of has to happen in order for us to be seen at all.
Yeah, so I think it would be a lot of, like, people who have things going for themselves and, like, have things to offer, but also just, like, I think, like, so that's, like, the pro, and the con is just, like, a lack of community and people, like, really coming together.
Now, I know in the music side, and especially in the tech side, this really exists, there's a lot of incubators on the tech community in Chicago that have come up over the last, let's say, decade. And music has one or two incubation spaces now, and of course there's studios. Like, is there not really a centralized incubator maker space for designers in Chicago that might have some of these resources?
No. If there is,
let us know.
Let us know. But it's, like, one of those things, like, you're not sharing that resource.
So that's literally, like, a void that someone should be filling.
And
I think that that's something, a conversation that we all have all the time. Like, anybody that makes clothes, like, I you know, I don't know. So it's about, like, having a space where we can all have those conversations and really build. And that is something that we actually found to be the problem in Chicago, and a problem that we're trying to fix, like, all together.
Yeah. So, you know, when you talk about community, there's obviously the two of you, and I know you are, like, I saw on, I think, someone's Instagram, like, there's talk about a collaboration. you know, are there other creators that you're connecting with in the city, you know, other younger talent who are also looking to innovate in the fashion space?
Definitely. We have, like, other things that, like, work with friends goes deeper than just, like, Olivia and I. Like, that's mm-hmm. the whole idea behind it is, like, for it to be, like, a real hub for you to be able to, like, work with your friends and, like, feel comfortable and, like, understand the meaning and, like, kind of the importance behind it. So we're creating that space for that. And there's, like, a lot of other people that we're going to continue to work with. There's people like Haley, for instance, is someone that I definitely mm-hmm. were trying to work with, and she's like, she's an artist. She's like, her photography is like, she's just started to do photography, and she's really good at that. And she also draws and stuff, and she's really, really good. And we have some stuff we're gonna do with her. There's just other people that we're gonna work with. Like, I don't wanna.
Yeah, you don't have to name names, but I'm just sort of wondering in terms of, like, yeah, you know, the community, and I'm thinking, yeah. like, if there's other people listening who maybe are feeling frustrated or disconnected,
yeah.
you know, can they connect with you? Can they reach out to what you guys are doing or look to contribute?
Like, yeah, like, Haley, I think, is a really good example of someone who might not necessarily have the people tapped into them, but we want to, like, collaborate with her and uplift her, like, all together. And we also, like, essentially want to use Work with Friends as a platform to set up mentorships.
Yeah.
So, like, if there's someone that is kind of, like, in the world in Chicago and was just like, hey, like, you know, I design clothes and I want to figure out a way to connect with a model or something like that. Like,
right.
we kind of have lived those struggles for those guys. And I think that that's kind of, like, what we're trying to solve is, like, we've gone through these things in the city, and we all have kind of understood, like, what the struggles are. And it's just like, how do we solve those problems for you so we can kind of get all that shit out the way? So I think that that's what Work with Friends is. It's like, if you're a photographer and you want to figure out somebody to be a model or something like that, like, we kind of want to connect those pieces for people. But I think that's what Chicago is missing right now. So, yeah.
But I think that's important, though. Like, the mentorship thing yeah. goes so far, no matter what industry it is. And the more connectivity and community there mm-hmm. is, the more things grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, talk about kind of how each of you define your distinctive brands, you know, OG and Eugene Taylor. Like, what makes each of them distinct? What's your approach to, you know, yeah. your clothes, your line, your vision that separates it from anybody else?
For me, I'd said earlier a lot about emotion, and I like to say my brand is like clothing design with passion. Like, I really kind of give you like a journey of like what I'm going through in Chicago or what I feel like needs to be touched on in Chicago. I kind of use my brand as a platform to kind of get my message as a person across, to kind of attempt to do my part in the world, yeah. essentially.
Yeah, I think for OG, like, I'm just like kind of like a fashion head, like, always been. Like, I'm very inspired by like vintage fashion, and my mom was just like a woman that just kind of like was just like so beautifully dressed from head to toe. So walking in the door, like, I know like the impression that makes from just how you dress. And then I think like men in Chicago also have a very distinctive style, so just like kind of growing up with like just like the guys that we grew up around, like I was very inspired by how they dressed. And then hi, what's up, kid? And then also just like streetwear in general. Oh, it's a cat, guys. What's up?
That's Penny. She interrupts the podcast.
Hi,
sometimes.
Penny. It's all good. Hi.
All right, so sorry.
No, it's all good. Just like streetwear, like now, and it's like general state influences the rest of the fashion world. So I'm mm-hmm. also very inspired by streetwear in general, because it comes from just kind of like our truths, like yeah. growing up as kids and shit. So I also know that like Supreme and like those brands, not to like throw names out, but like anything right. like that, it's just like they're just so established in like the streetwear like game that they can, they're just amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, anybody is going to buy anything that
they can put their name on a brick.
It's or whatever. A brick. It's right. amazing. It's insane.
Yeah. It's that level of branding yeah. where, like, so the band Kiss, yeah. the heavy yeah. metal rock band Kiss, their fans will buy
yeah.
anything,
yeah.
including, and this is not a made-up example,
yeah.
air guitar strings Now think about that for a second. It's air guitar
it's
strings.
Pieces of air.
It is a bag with nothing in it.
It's amazing.
And people buy it because it's got a Kiss thing on it. So when you can start selling air, that's when you've got your branding on lock. Yeah, but it is crazy. Like, I see that, like, I feel like the Supreme thing is the this generation's equivalent of, like, people just buying Kiss coffins and condoms and whatever.
I feel like there is a Supreme brick, no?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, Supreme totally made bricks.
It's Supreme everything.
I'm sure it's sold out.
Yeah. And also three times worth what they were selling it
for. Yeah, wow, man. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Why am I doing podcasts? I should be selling bricks.
I say that all the time. I'm like, I'm in the wrong business. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Right on. So what's on deck for you guys, like, now that we're kind of hitting summer, is summer the busy season for you? Is fall a busy season for you? Like, kind of bring us into what the year looks like right now for each of your brands.
Tisha has a whole timeline set up in her eyes. She's way more organized than I am.
That's awesome. Like, I love that kind of thing. Yeah, I totally subscribe to that.
I honestly should probably be more like her. But I don't know. I think, like, it's about just being more creative and just, like, waking up every day and just trying to make something. And, I have things that, like, I'm really excited about that I've been kind of, like, planning in my head and just sent off to, like, get samples made of. So, like, hopefully, like, they come back great. And if not, like, I think I'm in the place where, like, I really just want to take time to make sure that everything's amazing and perfect instead of just, like, throwing shit out and hoping people consume it because... You don't know, but
right.
I think that's really what it's about for me right now is just, like, making things perfect and beautiful and, like, real expressions of my art instead of just trying to, you know, make money off of it. So that's what I have lined up for summer. But summer is a busy season, to answer your question. Summer is a very busy season. Everybody cares about what they're looking like.
What they're wearing to East Room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then they take that shit off and they live without it. But
yeah, it's so funny. Like, I teach at Columbia. Every single student that, like, I hear talking or I see on social media, East Room. And, like, I know the East Room guys. Like, I went there when it first opened. I'm, like, obviously not the target demo. I'm older. Yeah. But I'm just like, holy shit, man. East Room is the spot for this generation.
Yeah, look, catch me as shorty as a East Room. We both live literally four blocks away from that shit. So we are
terrible.
The taco truck is lit.
Yeah.
Shout out
only
to Eastern
when you're
Taco
drinking.
Truck.
They're terrible when you're sober. Terrible.
The quesadillas are flame, bro.
Yeah, what's coming up for OG and... Or, I mean, sorry, for Eugene Taylor.
For Eugene Taylor brand, there's a lot.
you don't have to spoil anything.
Well, Eugene Taylor brand has a third birthday coming up, as well as so does OG.
That's awesome.
So we're both going to be celebrating our third birthdays with our brands. I have my sixth collection releasing early June. We have a lot of Work With Friends events coming up that you will hear about soon. But that's pretty much it. Just, like, continuing to work with my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, work with friends.
Yeah. Now,
let's talk about the three-year anniversary for a second. I didn't know you guys are both coming up on 3 years. So... what have you learned and what do you know now that you wish you knew at the beginning of your journey that would have made it much easier? What did you have to learn the hard way that might be able to save somebody else who's listening to this a little bit of struggle?
Commitment. Making sure that that's actually the shit that you want to do, bro. Because once you, like, put it out that you're this, you cannot turn around from that shit. If you say you're going to be a rapper and you put that label on your head and you don't put out hot tracks, you bogus. But also, like, I know for me, like, the day that I wanted to put out clothes, I put it out. People were really excited about it, and I had to continue to do that. And I could not take breaks. And I had to be very consistent and, like, committed to my craft and something that I have not done in a minute. But also just, like, mistakes that I've made and just understanding, like, if that's what you want to do, like, stick to it, and you'll be great.
Yeah.
For me, I would just kind of say control the energy that's around you. I think that's important for your art and what you're doing, because if you have bad energy around you, you're going to put out bad shit. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have good energy around you, you're going to put out good shit. Like, you need to feel good about yourself, and in return, you'll feel good about what you're doing, and I think... ultimately, I think that's, like, kind of the most important thing, because if I feel good about what I'm, like, the people around me and myself, like, what I'm doing is, like, amazing. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's how I feel about my sixth collection.
I think that's such good advice, though. Like, yeah, if you are not taking care of yourself, it's going to bleed over into your work.
Yeah.
For sure. 100%. Mm-hmm. I've seen that, you know, I know in my own life, and I've seen that again and again with so many different creators. I mean, not to name any certain rappers who came out of Chicago this last week, but, yeah. We've seen that on a major scale on Twitter in the last 7 days.
Yeah. Are you talking about Kanye?
Might be. Maybe. Oh, and okay. I'm saying that as a Kanye, like a lifelong Kanye fan. I'm like it's just that like, oh no, what is you doing, baby meme? You know, like.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But you know what? We got a whole new generation of creators in Chicago who are not wearing red hats. So.
Yeah. But you also just talk about, like, authenticity to your, like, growing, like, your environment and, like, how you grew up and really kind of sticking to your stuff and, like, your roots. And that, to me, is something that, I mean, I think Kanye, ultimately, like,
yeah,
like, forgot about and lost. And I think that that's what made us love him is just because, like, he was just so, like, true. And I think that that's something that her and I talk about all the time. It's just, like, once you forget about where you came from and, like, kind of, like, your environment, you lose you, and...
Yeah, it's real easy to lose that connectivity.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, talk about the live events. You know, you guys have talked about setting up live events. What goes into that? Where are you doing these? Like, what kind of prep? I mean, live events are
hard
an undertaking. It's a job in and of itself. So talk about what goes into that, what
team
you get out of it.
Teamwork.
Yeah, it's really crazy, actually, just from, like, the conception of everything. It's just, like, it's... Tisha and I smoke... is this, like, 18
months? It's a podcast,
okay,
man.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Tisha and I, we smoke weed, and we come up with ideas, and it's just, like...
That's so quaint. Like, I was like, wait, she's, like, pausing. I was like, is she going to be like, we smoke angel dust?
No,
and I'm like,
wait, no.
Yeah. No. We only smoke weed sometimes.
Yeah.
I was like, are there 18-year-olds listening to this?
No,
don't
smoke
weed.
like everybody.
we'll sit up and we'll, you know, smoke weed and then, like, talk about shit and, like, come up with really great ideas. And I think we're trying to lift up curtains for people because I think a lot of people are like, what is it like to do this thing? And I think that, again, that's, like, a problem we're trying to solve. We just threw an event with Congruent Space, and they're amazing partners. Like,
they do really cool stuff in the city.
Oh, my God. They're so, like, creative and just, like, I don't know. They're insane. I love them. I love, like, just sitting up and, like, talking and bouncing ideas off the wall, and they're great. But figuring out, like, really great partners to, like, create experiences for people, and we just did an event where we wanted to show people what it was like to make a garment from start to finish.
Well, yeah, because that's something that I think, like, in and of itself is worth exploring. Like,
yeah,
okay,
totally.
Me, I'm not, like, a fashion guy. I wear all black.
Yeah.
And not even, like, in a fashionable
way.
I'm
Steve
just,
Jobs.
Yeah. Oh, that's... Boy, that's a generous comparison. But, like, but sure, like, maybe Zuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something that I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Like, I can put together a live stream and a podcast, but I wouldn't know how to put together a garment from start to finish.
Right.
So, like, when you have a specific skill set, I think it's really valuable to be able to show that to other people
because
then you're inspiring.
Yeah, and then you do it in a way that's immersive, so people are like, oh, shit, like, I also did it myself. So what we did was... there's been, like, a lot of dip dyeing by, like, just a lot of, like, creators and, like, things like that. They've been dip dyeing shoes and t-shirts and stuff like that. So we did a thing where you could come to the space and you could literally dip dye something yourself. So we had, like, kind of like an experience where you could put your hands in gloves and the people behind kind of, like, the curtain will, like, hand the garment to you and then you can dip it. So just, like, giving access to things in a really kind of immersive way that people wouldn't have otherwise is something that we're trying to accomplish, and
okay, I didn't want to overstep anybody.
She always surprises people. She'll now, throw something in there sometime.
I know both of you have really strong connections with the Chicago music community, in addition to anybody else you're connected with in the creative culture here. But, like, talk about some of the artists you work with or are connected with who have supported your brand. Like, what's the relationship with the music scene here?
Well,
it's dramatic.
You know, I've worked with a decent amount of artists.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like a name drop.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, like, how does the music scene here connect to your work?
I think fashion and music go hand in hand. I think I think right now fashion lives inside of music, which is extremely irritating.
is it? Like, why is that irritating?
It's irritating because a lot of the times, like, when, I don't know, sometimes when I do have interviews, like, it's always like a, and she designed for blah, 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 blah. Like,
oh, yeah. It becomes,
like, it's in the headline. The yeah, yeah. And it's just like, that's really cool. And I'm super grateful for all of that. But, like, let's just talk about me.
Well, and that's a major thing in the city right now. Like, that happens when anybody writes about anyone in Chicago, where it suddenly becomes, like, Chance the Rapper's blank. Mm-hmm. And it always becomes, and I'm not even faulting Chance for that at all. It's, like, lazy journalism. But people always want to connect whoever they're talking about in Chicago. It's like, well, what's their Chance connection? Or what's their maybe Vic connection? It's like, and it is very lazy. It's not just like, oh, this person made this thing on their own. It's like, this person's connected to Chance in this way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I just kind of like want to be seen for...
For you.
Right.
Yeah, that's, for your work.
That's pretty much it.
Now, and something that you worked on specifically is the documentary. Talk about the documentary. Like, what is that? How did that come together? Where did the idea come from?
So I released my fifth collection last year, which was my first unisex collection. I kind of moved from just doing women's wear to doing men's wear, like, which was always the plan. I just needed to teach myself how to make men's clothing first. So I wanted to, the whole idea behind the collection was like my spin on what equality meant. So I wanted to do a project behind that, kind of going deeper into it and kind of utilizing Chicago and kind of like giving you what Chicago kind of felt like equality meant to them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great people from throughout the creative community here who are in that documentary, and it's very like, it feels very like grassroots and very casual. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody just wants to hang out and talk about what that means to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really cool. Everybody was really comfortable, like, and it, I mean, it got confusing at one point the first two times we filmed because, you know, a lot of, like, my friends were in the film, and, like, it became, like, it became a longer conversation. We were talking about it after people had taken, and it, like, became, like, we shot it at East Room, and, like, people were staying and stuff. We almost forgot we were filming and stuff. So, like, it was cool to, like, keep the conversation going even after the equality event that I had at Low Res. Like, we even, like, went out to eat after, and the conversation was still going. So it was really cool to kind of, like, see everybody, like, in a different, like, almost in a different light, like, a more serious kind of, like, because I'm very silly, and most of, like, I would say most of my friends are very silly. Olivia is very silly.
But it was a good, serious discussion without feeling heavy.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel
like
weighty.
Which I was, like, I felt really good about it because it kind of came across exactly how I wanted it to. I wanted it to be something that, like, wasn't, like, super, like, this is, like,
but it was also a conversation that just needed to be had, and I think that it's amazing that that could stem from clothes. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like something that she designed, and then everybody really got behind, like, her collection, and then wore pieces from the collection and stood in front of a camera and talked about what equality meant. So kind of like the music industry informs, like, fashion, and it was kind of like what she did was the inverse, so it was super dope.
Now, where can people find what you guys are both working on and connect with your work and you know, also buy something? Like, how can people find your work online?
I'm at ogbrand.co. I lost rice my domain. No, I'm just kidding. No, I honestly was, like, abandoning my brand. So I'm back at it, and it's going to be crazy. OG Brand 2018. But it's ogbrand.co, and it's workwithyourfriends.com. And then Tisha.
I love it, man.
Shut up, Tisha. I'm being transparent with the people. Shut the fuck up.
It happens,
oh
man.
God.
Being transparent.
It's eugenetaylorbrand.com, and it's at eugenetaylorbrand. At work with your friends.
Yep. It's still at OG brand. Yeah. I still have rights to that.
Okay.
I love it. This is really rad. I'm glad we got to start this conversation. I always say this to people, and I always mean it, like, this is an ongoing document of Chicago's culture.
Totally.
So, like, as you guys have new projects happening, as you have new things going on, please feel free to come back to the podcast. 100%. The mic is on.
Yeah.
We'll continue the conversation, but I'm really glad we got to start it tonight.
Same
here. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely, 100%. Leticia Renee from Eugene Taylor Brand, Olivia Goodman from OG Brand. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for coming up, man. And also thank you, Natalie, for recommending the two of you, because this was such a great discussion.
Thank you, Natalie.
I love
it. It's been lit. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.